listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him.
It's incredible. The SEC, it just means more. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go to Lee, who wants to weigh in on Jimbo Fisher firing back at Nick Saban. Lee, what's up?
Well, it's interesting. I went to LSU. My brother went to A&M, so we have a rivalry in our household. But I just want, how come Nick didn't remind people that it magically, when Tua signed with the Crimson Tide, his family was able to afford to move en masse over to Alabama and live near his son?
It's a great point, Lee. And you know why? Because it does not support his argument against Texas A&M. All of these guys will be hypocrites when they're throwing stones at one another. And the reality is they all do this in their own way, shape, or form. And it is funny, this idea that someone is operating within the rules and outside the rule books. These guys have all been operating outside the rule books for years and years and years. It used to be a hush-hush thing. Now it's out in the open. And the idea that some of these schools are indignant about the other is fascinating to me. And by the way, Lee, because you are an LSU fan and you have a brother who is an Aggie, correct? Who do you hate more between Texas A&M and Alabama?
Well, there's no decision, you know, Bama.
Got to be Bama.
Yeah, but then, again, the reason Bama is so good for the NCAA is Star Wars is no fun unless you have Darth Vader. No, you have to have someone to root against. Mm-hmm. So my two favorite teams are always LSU and whoever beats Alabama next.
Hell yeah.
Because I go back to encourage myself. I watch the highlights from the Samson game with Georgia, in particular that interception that clinched it, you know. So
I love it. I love it. Go Tigers. Appreciate the phone call, Lee. That is Lee, everybody. 713-780-ESPN. I do like the SEC. I really do. For those who don't know, if I had to pick a team in the SEC itself, I grew up, I liked Florida because I liked their colors a lot. I loved blue and orange. And when I was in high school, I was down in Florida, and that was the year that they won the national championship a couple of times. Paul Gallant, noted bandwagon rider. Yes. Not even going to deny it. First football game I ever watched was a Florida-Nebraska game during the national title when Nebraska just mollywopped Florida. And I did not know what was happening. I did not know how football worked. I was 5 years old, but I was crying because Florida was losing. And that is how I became a Florida fan. So it goes back away, and I used to want to go there for the longest time. Now they are kind of a joke, and I can't, you know, now I can't even get into any conversations with people from Alabama. If I wear a shirt out that's a Florida shirt, like, Alabama fans will basically hunt you out. And there are a significant amount of them here in Houston. You would be surprised. Like, one of my good buddies is an Alabama fan. He is actually a tolerable one. But, some of these guys, they will hunt you down, and they will let you know your place. I've always appreciated LSU guys because a bunch of Patriots played at LSU back in the day. Kevin Falk, most specifically. They had Jarvis Green. A couple other ones, too. But, yeah, this is fun. I like it. I really like it. And it's good that somebody seems to be challenging Alabama at their own game. And I really think if you have a problem with this, like, you're kind of un-American. You should be allowed to pay these guys if you want. It's your choice. It's, to me, seemingly a waste of money. I'm cheap. If I were a graduate of some of these schools and they're saying, hey, can you throw us a little pocket change so that for a donation, you know, I'm saying this in quotation marks if you're watching on twitch.tv/ESPN975. Can you provide a donation so we can, in quotation marks again, improve our standing? Like, they'll say something really vague like that. And of course, the money's going probably to one of these players, or it's going to, like, hey, let's build a new athletic facility, even though the athletic facility that we have is like 3 years old. They have no shame. But if Syracuse came to me with this, I'd be like, kill yourselves. Die in a fire. Why are you calling me asking for money? Was the money we gave you not enough? Is that not enough? And I feel bad. They have these like students that will call me once a year. Like, hey, have you considered contributing money to Syracuse? They're students, you know. They're just the messenger. But I'm like, yeah, I think that my donation of tuition for 4 years, Yeah, I think that was enough. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think? And they're like, well, I'm just working here. And I'm like, well, you should tell me what you think anyway. At some point, I feel like I might need to... I haven't sent you the audio yet, Sean. I'm like getting triggered just thinking about being talking with people in customer service. I've done it so much the last 2 days. There's this like techno beat, and it's like boom, 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 boom. It's awful. It's stuck in my head, though. Really bad. We'll have to play it at some point just to get me mad. Anyway, a big thanks to the Union Kitchen folks for calming me down a little bit with a little mimosa.
Imagine if they hadn't shown up today.
Oh, my God. No, like, you saw me when I came in, Sean. You saw that I looked like I was in a bad mood. I know I do not have a poker face. I don't make eye contact when I'm mad. I'm, like, looking down. And then all of a sudden, I rear my head back, and I just started ranting about, like, the phone calls. I probably wasn't even making any sense. I'm realizing that I'm not even going to tell the story on the air because it's going to be TLDR.
Well, first thing you did is you walked in and you slammed your wallet and phone, like you took it out of your pocket and like actually pretty hard slammed it.
Oh, yeah.
And then walked to get coffee or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And
I was grumpy.
Me and the chef were kind of like,
oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, God.
But
sorry.
Good read on the chef. Getting you some.
Yeah. No, I like seriously, that chef is my dude. I Union Kitchen till I die now. I might get a tattoo. Because honestly, I knew I was in a bad mood, and I have a hard time getting out of it. I have a really hard time. And it's always, we talked about this with Vanessa before, I sweat the small stuff. I get so worked up over small things. And this morning was just a cacophony of small things leading up to this. Anyway, no one cares. I love this. I love this back and forth. I want another SEC school to enter the fray. I'm really curious as to what's going to take place with the NFL and their ruling on Deshaun Watson. And I'm also wondering if they are paying attention to what goes on outside of their house. If they are looking at the Trevor Bauer 2-year suspension and thinking to themselves, you know what? This is something that maybe should be on the table for Deshaun Watson. Josina Anderson used to work at ESPN. She's an NFL reporter, I think freelance now. Sometimes it's a little bit insufferable with the way that she reports things. She always has to let people know that they are telling her X, Y, Z, whatever the case. She put out a very interesting tweet yesterday, and it has to do with perhaps looking at things in the same perspective that baseball did with Trevor Bauer. NFL source on Trevor Bauer. Look at what baseball did. If people don't think that's on people's radar, then public opinion matters. You think the NFL wants to be the organization that says sexual misconduct against women means more to one league than the other? Think about it. And yeah, whoever that source is, I wonder just how high up said source is, because NFL source, that's very vague. That could be anybody. But they should be looking at it through that prism. And I'm not going to lie, if it is less than 8 games, I will be incensed, because it just shows that like that they don't care. Should I expect them to care? I guess not. You know, at a certain point, you just have to call a spade, accept that the NFL is morally bankrupt. But there's a part of me where I'm like, are you really going to let the Browns get away with this the way that they did? And credit to the Texans for finding a way to get this deal done as quickly as possible. Can you imagine if they had still not been able to dump Deshaun Watson elsewhere? Can you imagine where they would be right now if all of a sudden we're getting this story about Deshaun Watson making a masseuse cry and seeming just completely indifferent to it, not understanding why this masseuse cried? If this came out before the Watson trade, I wonder how they would have been able to move him. Because now all of a sudden, you have some sort of testimony that is more than just one report that was talking about the allegations against him. I don't think many people read that Sports Illustrated report that was put together by Jenny Vrentis. And I'm not even sure how much of it I can describe on the air, especially considering there's probably some kids listening in cars. I don't want them to hear some of the stuff that Watson is alleged to have done. But at the same time, like the graphic nature of it, I don't think has been presented nearly as with as much of a spotlight as it should have been. You know, ESPN, too, it's like you're just hearing sexual misconduct. When you actually hear the specific details of the allegations, it's disgusting. It really is. It's like that of a barbarian and someone who clearly did not see any issue with it. And when you're seeing multiple people alleging very similar specific details and police reports that are saying, yeah, I mean, these people all seemed credible. Well, what is it that's missing? And you know what's missing is it's sort of just like with the Bob Kraft massage parlor escapade, if you will. You can't admit any evidence that is taken from a massage room. You can't have any recording there. Like, that's across the United States. You can't have it. You can't record a massage. You just can't. And you can get away with legitimately sexual assault in something like that. Because there's no... That's the only way that we can document these things. And that's why he's not facing any criminal charges. Like, some people have said, oh, well, he's innocent until proven guilty. You're looking at it, I would say, in a very naive and lazy way. And I know that there have been some out there who have, like, been teamed to Deshaun Watson from the beginning. Some of them are just diehard Browns fans that are happy they have a quarterback. But the ones that are here that in particular were like, well, hey, like, you got to keep him. I understood the argument from the perspective of you're not going to be able to replace Deshaun Watson and his level of talent probably anytime soon, just given the Texans' entire 20-year history. You know, we're talking about a team that has not done very well at that position. But at the same time, like, you hear some of these details and you're like, well, you know, innocent until proven guilty, and just throwing these lazy arguments out there. And then we see the specifics. It's awful. So the NFL should, keyword, step in here. They should, and it seems like they are aware of what's going on in baseball. And I'm very curious as to what happens next. Obviously, any long suspension helps the Texans out a lot. That's for sure. And honestly, he is deserving of a long suspension with the way that... If the Browns honestly weren't so blatant with that first-year contract, if they maybe spaced things out in a way where Watson actually would be losing a great deal of money this year, I feel like that maybe the NFL would be able to look the other way. But if the Browns are basically saying, like, yeah, we know he did something wrong, we don't care, we knew he was making at the very least some of these masseuses cry, and we decided to pay him this money that basically is going to allow him to skirt and lose no money if he is facing a suspension, that is something that the NFL should say, okay, guys, like, we gave you a little bit of grace here, and you took it and ran with it. I'm Paul Gallant. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We will continue this conversation. If you want to weigh in on what a suspension for Watson should be, 713-780-3776. Or if you have strong feelings about Nick Saban. Is anyone on team Nick Saban after Nick Saban, you know, took some shots at Jimbo Fisher and Jimbo Fisher came back with a bazooka? We can talk about that too. But right now I want to tell you about my friends at the Passive Investor Network. Look, we all want to make money. And real estate is a great way to do it. Have you seen how house prices are skyrocketing all over the place? And that's what my friends at the Passive Investor Network can do for you. They will tailor you a 5-year plan. And they'll explain it to you, but guess what? You don't have to do anything after the fact at PassiveInvestor.net. That's where you want to go, and you want to sign up for their bus tour, which is taking place the 21st. That's coming up just a couple of days from now. That's on Saturday. I'm going to be there, and they will show you through this bus tour how you can make some serious cheddar. And a personalized plan for you with all of the real estate hassle taken out of your hands. You might want to be involved, but why be involved when these guys are the experts and they know what they're doing? The Passive Investor Network is going to help you get money for you and your family for years to come with this plan that they have for you, tailored for you, PassiveInvestor.net. Passive Investor Net. Check out the Passive Investor Network.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Vanessa on vacation, so it's just me. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass taking your phone calls at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go to Rolando. Rolando, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Paul? Hey, I just want to talk about the Nick Saban. Man, he is scared out his mind. He needs to call his mom and just get some help, because he is scared of Jimbo. He's scared of A&M. He's scared he's not going to make the SEC title game again for the longest time. He's scared out his mind. And, hey, Paul, how about some seeds?
Dude, yeah, that wasn't good. That wasn't good. I'm wondering if this Rolando is the same guy who came up next to me. I was watching the Celtics game at McIntyre's up in the Heights, and I'm sitting down. The Celtics are getting their asses kicked, and this guy approaches me from the side, and he's like, "Yo, Celtics suck." I'm not wearing any Celtics gear, but I think he could tell I was rooting for the Celtics. He's like, "You guys are just terrible," and I'm like, "Okay, do you want me to engage? Who do you root for?" That was my first go-to, because generally, as I have explained before, because I'm from Boston, I can generally like just exude some condescension to make that person feel put in their place. And the guy said, "Oh, well, you know, I'm a Dallas fan." And I was like, "So you're rooting for the Heat? The Heat beat you in an NBA Finals. You don't hate them?" Because generally, if you lose to a team in a championship, you will hate that team for life. That's at least been my experience. I cannot stand the Giants. I cannot stand the Eagles as a Patriots fan. And he said, like, "Well, who did the Celtics lose to in the playoffs last year?" And it actually took me a while to remember it, because I blocked it out from my mind that the Celtics had lost to the Brooklyn Nets in the first round of the playoffs, that they had lost to James Harden in the first round of the playoffs. So we were just going back and forth with it, and I'm wondering if Rolando is that guy. As far as Nick Saban goes on that front, is Nick Saban scared of Texas A&M? I don't know if he's scared of them, but he's definitely annoyed by them. I mean, this is one of the few programs that we have seen actually beat Alabama a couple of times over the course of the last decade. I don't know what the win-loss totals are for every single team that has played Alabama over the last decade, but I know that Texas A&M has at the very least won twice. So, I mean, that is definitely a thing. And I would say now with Jimbo Fisher, now with the actual capital that the Aggies are working with, yeah, if you're Nick Saban, I don't know if you're scared of them, but you're definitely annoyed by them. I don't buy into the idea that Saban's scared of anybody, though. He's just being a whiny little baby about everything as things go right now. We'll have to play that audio again at some point. Sean, what's going on? What's going on, brah?
Oh, I was going to cue it up, see if you want to...
Oh, yeah, let's play it again. Yeah, let's play it again. So for those who didn't hear it yesterday, Nick Saban, head coach of Alabama, I'm guessing... Sean, was this the Paul Feinbaum show?
No, it was some sort of Alabama booster event, because sitting next to him was the basketball coach.
Gotcha.
And so I think it was some sort of alumni thing. I know Texas was doing an alumni thing with all the coaches throughout the state. I think Alabama was doing something.
So it's like a pep rally of sorts.
Yeah, basically a Q&A kind of thing.
And Saban just decides that he is going to call out Texas A&M. Here is what he had to say.
And you've read about them. You know who they are. I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player. All right, but I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future, because more and more people are doing it.
Here's what bothers me about it. A&M bought players, but that's legal. You can be out and about with it now. If I'm someone that's there, I'm an Alabama fan, I would be asking him, "Well, why aren't you?" Like, that's the obvious follow-up there. And obviously no one's going to ask that in Tuscaloosa. They'd be taken out back and shot, because that's how it works in a small college town.
What if that's what Saban's trying to do? What if he's trying to kind of, because he is talking to effectively the people that could get together an NIL collective like A&M has. Maybe he's trying to scare them a little. Like, listen, we just got beat in the recruiting trail because we're doing it the right way.
Oh,
and he gets to kind of play both sides of, we do it the right way. Also, if you want to start throwing money around, that'd be great too.
That's a great theory, Sean. It is using fear to
get money. That's what works best with Alabama fans. It's like, we might not win a national title every single year. Aren't you scared now?
This is perfect. And this is why college football is so awesome. And it's one of the reasons I wish at times that I had gone to an actual one of these schools. It's just using nationalism to steal money from people. I mean, is this not akin to using the imagery that the U.S. government used back in the early 1900s leading into World War One, because there was a time where the U.S. was like, yeah, we don't want a part of it. And honestly, World War One is one of those wars. There was some messed up stuff done to Belgium in particular by the Germans. But this wasn't like in World War Two, where clearly the Nazis were evil, right? Like, that was a battle. That's the only war where it's probably been legitimately a battle of good and evil, although it would be evil and evil on the Eastern Front between Russia and Germany. But in World War One, Germany was a part of these complicated alliances that made no sense, and all it took was like some random archduke getting shot in, get this, the Balkans, by someone probably wearing a tracksuit back in the 1920s. And what happened after that was the whole world found itself at war because of all these weird alliances that took place. And the U.S. was like, yeah, we're not in. But I think that Belgium was the reason. But they used to have this propaganda like, stop the Hun, kill the Hun. And that's essentially, in a very, very light way, to bring this very long tangent to its natural conclusion, to land it, it's kind of what Saban's doing here. The Aggie Scourge is buying recruits. The horror. Really does sound like Brian Cashman. Because this indignance with it, and as a previous caller pointed out, Lee, like, Alabama's done stuff like this behind the scenes. Why are they taking issue with it when it's legal? It would be one thing if this was taking place like 10, 15 years ago. Oh, they buy all their players. But no, now you're saying, like, I can't believe that they bought the last rotisserie chicken at the grocery store. Like, that's what this is. I mean, it's first come, first serve. If you're not going to pay for it, then sorry, you're SOL.
Or it's like a football team, like an NFL team being like, we can't believe that the Jaguars offered Christian Kirk more money than we did. They're doing it the wrong way.
Yes, and see, they are doing it the wrong way, but it's, well, like, you know, paying Christian Kirk. But I get what you're saying. Yes, it's entirely that. It's, hey, we could have had this player. They paid more. Are you going to go on eBay and get mad when someone bid more money than you in an auction? Oh, man, like, that guy did it the wrong way. He offered one more dollar than me. My God, Nick, it really is unbecoming. If you're Alabama, you should never be complaining about anything. I actually, you know what? The Aggies, there's the little brother syndrome that they have, even though they have clearly been the better football program than Texas for the last decade. There is this element of them, though, where they do get a little whiny from time to time. Like, I know that there were a lot of people who were whiny about UT joining the SEC eventually. But at least they have a reason to complain from time to time. Alabama, you never have any reason to complain. You never have any sympathy unless, as Sean theorized, that you were trying to guilt trip through fear your boosters into giving more money to these players. It really is fascinating. We'll play Jimbo's responses one more time, because honestly, I just get a kick out of how fired up he got on that front. Also, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Some stats that prove just how damn good Jeremy Pena has been after the Astros lost 2-3 to Boston. We'll talk about that next, right here, Vanessa and Gallant.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
No, Vanessa, just me, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We do have Sean Mapes behind the glass, though. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Man, I'm really enjoying this back and forth between Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher. I wonder if Nick will talk again. I don't traditionally think of Saban engaging with other coaches, because I feel like if he did, then every single time Lane Kiffin tweeted something, that Saban would find himself back in the dirt. I feel like he's removed from it.
At the very least, we know that all the SEC coaches are going to be together for the SEC media days, I think in either late June or early July. They normally get it out of the way before fall practice starts.
SEC so media day.
It could be a frosty interaction. I don't know if they do like the NFL does, where they all take a picture together. in Hawaiian shirts, but if it is, get ready for that.
July 18th through 21. Ah, that's too far away. There's too much time for peace to be made.
Yeah, no, I don't think there'll be peace.
Someone has to step in and throw more gasoline on the flames. And my question is, who would that be? Who's going to be the person to make this one worse? I mean, honestly, Jimbo Fisher's responses to Nick Saban. You heard Saban in the last segment. It's just so great. He's so pissed, Fisher. He feels like his honor has been attacked. And I love it. I'm team Jimbo Fisher here. Really quickly, Sean, before we get to our next caller, this is Jimbo Fisher's immediate reaction to what Nick Saban had to say.
No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here.
Despicable. A shame. Oh, I love it. All of the check marks of words that you want to hear. And you can hear it in his voice, too. Like, his heart rate is elevated for that. Like, that is authentic pissed off. We do it the right way here, and we're going to be here. And that last part, that is essentially a warning shot back. I wonder if Saban takes it seriously. Don't you want someone else to step in here? I want to hear from, like, the head coach of Kentucky or something that. Some rando.
And part of Saban's comments, because it was, like, a question, and he gave a seven-minute-long answer.
It was a long answer.
Yeah,
okay.
He touched on a lot of things, and he also touched on Deion Sanders and Jackson State. When they flipped the kid from
Florida State, right?
Yeah, the Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
And he said, you got teams like Jackson State, like, bragging about paying for the cornerback. And he's like, and Deion tweeted something about, like, I'll make my response heard, which means, I don't know, he's probably jumping on a Barstool podcast at some point.
It's probably be on Part of My Take or something like that.
But I think Lane Kiffin's probably in for maybe a snarky tweet or two, maybe a funny photo or something.
But he won't do enough to escalate this into a, as we were talking about earlier, World War One kind of scenario.
You want, like, Brian Kelly or Lincoln Riley to start.
That's the guy. Brian Kelly needs to step in here, hopefully with his newfound Louisiana twang. And I want him to, yes, make this worse. He's the one that can do it. I feel like here's how he does it. He humble brags about doing well at Notre Dame despite recruiting restrictions and just saying, look, this is how it's fought in the wild SEC West.
Yeah, I did things the right way for a decade in Notre Dame. We went to one national championship game, two playoffs.
Yeah.
But I know that this is a new world of college football, so I took me and my family to LSU. For the new era.
Yeah. Here's what he should do. Look, there's only one right way. It's winning. Go Tigers. That's all he has to say. And that's what we Tigers do. That's what we do down here in Louisiana.
Down here in Louisiana.
Down here in Louisiana. We are crawfish. Yeah. Some fried catfish too. Po' boys. And winning football. And this man, Nick Saban, who leaves our state, he has the gall to call out someone else for doing things the right way. I am the right way, but I'm doing the righter way now. Winning. Sorry for the awful Louisiana accent. Let's go to Blair, 713-780-3776. Blair, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. I just want to get in on this Nick Saban thing. First of all, it's a shame that he's this petty about it because he really is the GOAT of college football coaching. Like, I'll give him his flowers for that. Like, he is the man. But if you guys will, this is a perfect example of why he didn't work in the NFL when you can't have complete control over grown men like he couldn't. But if you remember back to Kevin Sumlin and Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M, he was very petty about the spread offense. As much as we remember Johnny running around, he was actually, you know, spreading it out, throwing it quite a bit. And he had some negative things to say about how it shouldn't be allowed. And now look at him. He puts 15 receivers a year into the NFL, like spreading the ball out. And so it's just, it's full of hypocrisy.
Or, you got it.
But yeah, that's all I had to say. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Appreciate the phone call, Blair. You're right. It's funny. It's funny that he does this as often as he does. He has been hypocritical before. And it's not like he's unable to adapt. He has shown that he can adapt. I can't believe, though, that he's friends with Belichick. Belichick never whines about stuff like this. Belichick's ahead of the curve a lot, but when teams start doing new things, what, he's going to start whining about it? He's going to start crying about it? And to Blair's point, he is the greatest college football coach of our lifetime, possibly ever.
I have some breaking news from Barrett Salee of CBS. Nick Saban is scheduled to be on SiriusXM College Football 84 this afternoon.
Hell yes.
At 4:30 p.m., according to Rick Neufeisel.
Let's go! All right.
So the media wars is not done yet.
I guarantee you, he backs out. We'll follow up on this tomorrow, and we're gonna have my buddy Josh Beard, who is an Aggie stan and used to work with me over at the flagship.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So we could maybe I'll take Nick Saban's side tomorrow just to be a troll or something like that. But I mean he better respond. If you're going to decide to get dirty, to take shots, you have to stick in the game. You can't back out. I want something either condescending, which is going to be difficult to do in terms of the most recent game that was played between Texas A&M and Alabama, or I want like data points.
Yeah, either you have to come back with a really hard clap back, or it has to be like, here's the invoice I got from this 5-star parent who wanted me to match your offer.
I wonder though. I don't know. I don't know if we're gonna get it. I don't think we're gonna get what we want.
I don't think so. I think I don't know, because Jimbo did kind of allude to, go ask some old coaching staffs about how Nick Saban runs things, which is funny because Jimbo Fisher was his offense coordinator at LSU. He could just say it. Like, whatever bodies are buried, he should know.
He should, right. I mean, and all of these guys know each other, too. I mean, how many people have been a part of this? You know what would be great? I want Bill O'Brien's thoughts on this. I want Alabama offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien's take on the matter. Because I actually feel like Bill O'Brien would be great in a petty war. He's from Boston. He has a temper. I want Bill O'Brien's thoughts.
He can hold a grudge like no other.
Oh, my God. He really can.
I guess you said he's from Boston, so.
Yeah, he's like me. Bill O'Brien and I are very similarly wired. And honestly, I like Bill O'Brien, the person, because I know Bill O'Brien, the person. I know a lot of people like, about him. He was a bad general manager. He was a good coach, all things considered. I know a lot of people don't like to hear it, but, I mean, He had a lot of crap that he had to deal with on this team, and he was able to get them to win. Then he created his own crap, and that was too much. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for the Dallas Mavericks, or are you rooting for the Golden, we murder the Houston Rockets, State Warriors? There really is only one right answer here. You guys got to have this one right. I will tell you how I am rooting next, and we'll do garbage time. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Vanessa Ann Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Vanessa up in Indianapolis on a little vacation. Well deserved by her. She's had a rough month. Hoping that she's having fun as they get ready, I guess, for it's like a pre-weekend to the Indianapolis 500 party. I'm not 100% sure how all of that works, but I am curious. And maybe that's something that as a show we can do as a group vacation. Huh, Sean? Would you go to Indianapolis ever? In your life?
Yeah, for the Indy 500.
Same.
Not just to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Go to all the tourist locations?
Don't you want to go to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana? This is great because she can't respond right now. It's awesome.
I would love to rub some elbows with some scouts and assistant GM.
I want to eat jumbo shrimp in Indiana. No, I don't want it in Louisiana. I want it from Indiana where it's fresh.
I want to leave Houston to go to Indianapolis to eat seafood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nessa's probably like, guys, I'm not here. This is not fair. I can't defend my hometown. And she'll be back soon. So I know that it's hard for some of you guys to do. They absolutely pantsed the Rockets for much of the last decade. But you have to find it in your hearts to continue to root for the Golden State Warriors, who beat the hell out of the Dallas Mavericks last night, because you cannot have another rising power in Dallas. You don't want this. The Rockets are not going to be good next year. They're not going to be good the year afterwards, probably either. I would bet against it in terms of being where they used to be. Jalen Green, nice building block. There are lots of other things that need to happen. I'm not so sure about the head coach. I'm not so sure about the general manager. And I'm just not so sure about the Rockets' entire approach when it comes to managing their star players. I feel like they have perhaps been a little bit too accommodating of late. And I would say specifically with one Kevin Porter Jr., who I want off the team. Christian Wood, don't want him here either. I want it to just be about Jalen Green and trying to figure things out from there. Sengun, I do like. Who knows who they draft. Whatever the case, back to Dallas. You can't have the Dallas Mavericks all of a sudden becoming this preeminent good team in basketball. Dallas has been bad at sports for a long time. And if it takes Golden State continuing to be good, yes, a team that has Steph Curry, who for whatever reason you hate, even though he actually was efficient, unlike James Harden. Why? Because he chewed on his mouth guard incorrectly. Is this city full of dentists?
Don't forget the shimmies too.
But what was wrong with the shimmies, Sean?
Because
he hit the shot against the Rockets?
Play the game the right way.
Okay, Nick Saban.
All right, play the game the right way. All right? They finished number one in the Western Conference for a million straight years. We finished number two. All right? But we do things the right way.
No, they don't. That's the thing. The Warriors played basketball the right way. They did. They pass. They play defense. They have a bunch of guys who actually are good at shooting threes. Unlike James Harden, who is above average at shooting threes. It's like 270th all time in terms of three-point percentage, despite having like the first or second most attempts in league history. And he's still going to play like another 4 to 5 years probably. The Rockets played basketball the wrong way. Flopping, whining, bitching, moaning, no honor, no defense, no nothing. And I never got behind them, and I get it. Some of you guys still might be bitter at me for not getting behind them. That's fine. You cannot root for the Dallas Mavericks. You can't even root for them, Sean. I know. You want to see the Mavericks win and then lose in the NBA Finals.
I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting against them less, is how I'd say it. But I rather this be the start of Luka's. It's his LeBron taking the 07 Cavs to the Finals, where he goes to the Finals. Wow, he's next up. He loses by a million to Miami or to Boston, which that also would suck.
Having
you be excited would suck.
Yeah, it would. It would. But I won't be that annoying. I'll just be like, yeah, we just expected in Boston. You know, 18 green. But
this
look,
is already annoying.
None of these teams are good enough to definitively beat the Mavericks. If Dallas can beat Phoenix, no matter what Patrick Beverley says about how no one sweated over Phoenix, that's a load of crap. They were the best team in basketball this past year.
No, they had a cone playing.
Yeah, my bad. I forgot. Well, considering they had a cone, they did have 60-plus wins. You know, considering they had just a walking, talking cone who does State Farm ads, which honestly would be appropriate. I mean, they did pretty damn well. And the Mavericks beat them. And you got a guy in Doncic who, I get it, he like drinks beer before games. I know for others, they're like, oh, look, a white guy in the NBA. That's great. I know there are some of you out there. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. It's fine. I'm accommodating to all thought processes. But you can't just jump on this Mavericks bandwagon. I'm sorry. You can't. You can never root for a Dallas team if you are here. These are the rules. I grew up in Boston. I cannot physically root for any New York team. I don't care where they play. They could play in Buffalo. They could play in New Jersey, which is, by the way, where all of their NFL teams play, not in New York City, because
none of them are rich enough to actually afford New York City real estate. That's pretty funny to me. Whatever the case, you can't root for anyone who is on a team in the city that is your rival city. Dallas is the rival city of Houston. It's not San Antonio. No one really likes San Antonio that much. It's not Austin. Austin is barely part of Texas anymore. It is just Dallas. That is it. That is how it always has been. It is the only other big metropolitan area compared to Houston in this state. And all of a sudden, they have more people than us or something like that, and they're bragging about it, which is ridiculous in and of itself. They cannot be successful. You must root for them to fail and for all the bad things in the world to happen to them. Thank you. This has been Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Unless Sean has a point. You have any counters?
You're saying this, and then I'm thinking about the confetti falling on Steph Curry, holding his kid, holding the trophy, and I'm sick to my stomach. I want to throw up all that beautiful Union Kitchen food that we just got.
Oh, it was really good. It was really good.
I don't want Klay Thompson, that smug. Everyone loves Klay Thompson. Come on. Dude's a D-bag. He just keeps his mouth shut enough that people don't know, and he smokes weed. Hey, half the NBA smokes weed. Probably more than half the NBA smokes weed, Klay Thompson. You're not the only one.
No, dude, he's so cool.
Get out of here, Klay Thompson.
Draymond Green, too, the most likable player.
Yeah, just stick to your podcast. Kevon Looney, the oldest 25-year-old ever to walk the earth.
He ate Golden State. It's actually great.
Wiggins doesn't love basketball. Jimmy Butler's right.
How is Wiggins good at defense, by the way? Wasn't he bad? I thought he was known for being bad on defense, and all of a sudden he's good? Like, that's what I found out last night, because he was matched up with Doncic the whole game, and he did a hell of a job. That was surprising to me, because I remember in Minnesota, everyone's like, yeah, well, he doesn't try on defense. I was like, okay.
Well,
Spurs seems to be trying right now. Maybe I'm confusing him with that other guy?
No, he didn't play defense.
He didn't?
Back
okay.
In the day. Yeah.
God.
I think it's just because he has less to do on offense now. He's more of a role player.
Golden State does things the right way, Sean. Just join.
All right, time for garbage.
Garbage time. Let's go.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I don't like the Oakland A's. Never have. It's mainly because they've been awful chirpy the last couple of years in the wake of the Astros cheating scandal, starting with Mike Fiers snitching, continuing with Mike Fiers basically saying, yeah, well, I'm not getting rid of the ring. I don't think he actually ever did definitively say that, though. He's in Mexico or something like that right now. Who knows? Whatever the case, I really enjoyed the crumbling of the A's this offseason. There was that tweet, I think it was by like the A's flagship TV station, and it had like a comic of a couple of A's players like basically talking trash about the Astros, and then the Astros beat them in the playoffs. I forget what the specifics were.
That was 2020, where they, yeah, it was some weird, lame comic about like, they trash cans, haha.
Yeah, it was basically that.
And then they lost by like a million runs to the Astros.
Who were a sub-500 playoff team. That's pretty funny. I love how they expanded the playoffs the one year the Astros played bad, and they still made it to the ALCS. Fantastic. Well, anyway, things are bad for the A's right now. You might notice that not a lot of people are going to their stadium anymore. It's because not only are they not investing in the product, they are in the process of leaving. They will not be in Oakland much longer. The real question is, like, when they will end up in Las Vegas. But the most recent update of the A's playing in their little festering stadium, which does have cats, and I'm excited about that. Like, there's a cat colony there, but now there are possums. A possum took over the press box. A couple of beat writers captured photos of the creature coming in through the ceiling, and on top of that, Twins play-by-play man Dick Bremer told the world that he had to leave the booth so that an exterminator could come in on Monday night. They killed the opossum? Oh!
Yeah, notice they didn't say animal control. They said
exterminator. Yeah, I would have figured, okay, well, you get the possum and you move it out. So the A's are just killing, like, I'm now concerned for those cats and the cat colony. An exterminator, they go right for that? And maybe animal control is more expensive or something like that. I mean, he's just chilling out in the press box.
Possums don't bite. They don't harm anyone, right? They're just like big rats.
They can carry diseases like small rats do.
Oh, okay. So they might have like fleas or something on them.
Or rabies or something.
Okay. But they'd have to bite you for that. They don't bite people.
They might. You don't know.
I don't. That's a good point. I actually don't know. This is not quite like the ballpark in, where was this? In Tennessee or Kentucky or West Virginia?
It was Arkansas.
Arkansas, my bad.
We're a fan, not a trained, or he might be a professional animal catcher in his line of work, but he was just a fan enjoying college baseball, and he went under the bleachers or something, and he pulled out a giant raccoon.
He grabbed it by the scruff of its neck. What a badass. First off, second off, what? No one in the Oakland A's press box is capable of doing that?
No, because they don't have any good old boys like Arkansas
does. No, they don't. No. It's classic liberal San Francisco. The Bay Area. Can't even take care of creatures in their backyard. By the way, I can't either.
No, if I saw a raccoon in the bleachers, I would run away.
I saw a photo a little video on TikTok, and some lady, a raccoon had gotten onto the counter of her kitchen sink because she left the window open, and her cat was blocking the raccoon from exiting through the window, and the raccoon was trying to get down from the kitchen counter, and the lady kept on like walking up to it and then walking away because she didn't want the raccoon to go on the floor. She wanted the raccoon to just leave where it came, but the cat was being a jackass and not getting out of the way. Raccoons, possums, and cats, everybody. That is garbage time. Only one of those creatures lives in the garbage, the raccoon. I don't think possums live there, but they definitely peruse it. Sean Mapes, thanks for your help behind the glass. Thanks to our callers as well. I am merely Paul Gallant. No Vanessa, she will be back next week. We're going to have a fun little surprise tomorrow for those who have been listening to me for a long time. You want to stay tuned for that. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Thursday.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.